Well, it has been 1 year since the death of Freddie Gray in Baltimore. Police arrested the 25-year-old Gray on April 12, 2015. He sustained spinal injuries while he was riding in a police van after his arrest and died 1 week later. A week after that, on the day of Gray's funeral, protests gripped the city. Several buildings were burned down. A grand jury later indicted six police officers on charges related to Gray's death. And after many delays, the officers' trials are expected to resume on May 10th. All of the officers have pleaded not guilty. J.C. Falk is an activist and community organizer in Baltimore. He's founder of the nonprofit An End to Ignorance, and he's with us now. J.C. Falk, welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate you inviting me.
Well, so 1 year later, what does the name Freddie Gray mean to you?
It means a great deal to me. Like, I did not know Freddie Gray, but essentially his death brought people together in this city who would not have come together had he not died.
Well, so it's interesting to hear you say you did not know Freddie Gray. Not a surprise, but interesting that he, even though you didn't know him, moved you to work on this cause for the last year.
Yes, he did. And it's because Freddie Gray, a lot of people are represented through Freddie Gray. Like, people saw themselves in Freddie Gray. There's last year, there were 344 people who died in the city, one. And then there's an air of hostility, brutality from the police in Baltimore, that there's no one in low-income communities in Baltimore who would be unaware of that. So his death by the hands of the police in Baltimore, it just kind of highlighted what people on the ground already know. And so when he died, it was like a part of us, a part of everyone else. We were dying with him. People rallied and did what they did because he died in a way that many of us are afraid we will die also. And it has been proven that the police here in Baltimore are brutal to people in low-income and minority communities.
What do you think has changed in the last year?
I'd like to do what has not changed and what has changed. Okay, so what has not changed is on the ground. So this morning I looked up the Baltimore Sun. They say that right now, to this point in the year, 69 people have already died from homicide, and 61 of them died from bullet wounds. So we're right on track. Last year, 344 people died in Baltimore. There were 344 homicides in Baltimore. So that has not changed. OK, the brutality from police in Baltimore has really not changed. A block and a half away from my house 2 weeks ago, two police officers shot 56 shots at two men, killing them, and the men never shot at them. So there's something that's going on in the city right now, even though all of the stuff happened around Freddie Gray. We have a new state's attorney in office, Marilyn Mosby, who has sorely been a disappointment to the people on the ground in Baltimore. She has not done what we expected her to do when she walked in. However, what's changing is the people are tired, and we have not stopped. Like, people are still rallying, still doing the things that they do. And this year, there's going to be a huge turnover in terms of political leadership in the city. Half of the city council members have decided not to run or won't be running. So we're going to have at least half of the city council replaced. Hmm. And then Stephanie Rollins-Blake, who has been also a disappointment to the city, is not going to be there. So we're going to have a new mayor coming in the election. Another thing that's happened is in the state of Maryland, the felon voting laws have changed in Maryland. So now anyone who has finished their sentence and they're out of prison now and they've done all of their time, they can now vote. That's tens of thousands of new voters who can vote this year, and they could decide many of these elections. So I think that has changed. It's going to be a really incredible year watching to see what unfolds for us as this year comes to an end.
Well, one of the things that we all watched unfold and that stands out as this Freddie Gray situation developed was rioting in the streets of Baltimore. We remember that last year. We were watching it on television. Here's a little bit of reporter Athena Jones on CNN, who was witnessing one of the riots.
You can see now, I think, some projectiles being thrown, a board, several rocks. We don't want to get too close. But we're basically behind the police line.
There were fires in Baltimore. A lot of property was destroyed. Do you think that was a mistake?
I don't know if mistake is the right word. What I would do is I would turn that around and say something else about it. Like, right now in Sandtown, one zip code, 21217, there are about 450 people from that one zip code that's in Sandtown who are in prison. They're treated like they're the most dangerous people in the world, and they are not. I'm with them nearly every day, and they're not that. The word riot, I've heard that word over and over and over again, and what we call it is an uprising. When you have people who are dying at the hands of a brutal police system, what do we expect? Do we expect them to just stand there and continue to die? So we call it an uprising. Other people call it a riot, but we call it an uprising.
Well, whether you're going to call them uprisings or riots, if there is another situation that causes a lot of anger in the community in Baltimore, would you advise people to behave differently or to react differently to it this time around?
This is what I'm going to advise, because I'm going to advise that you ask the question about the police and the system reacting differently. Okay, like you're pointing to the people, and I'm going to ask you to like take a moment and point to the systemic structure that murders black people, that murders poor people, that destroys the lives of children.
Well, I think that's what we've been talking about all along here. I mean, that's you and I have been talking about the systemic problems. But I'm just asking about that, about the reaction to whatever may happen in the upcoming trial of this officer.
Well, I say that people have the right to defend their lives. They have the right to stop police from killing their children. They have the right to call their political leaders to action. I'm asking the system to respond. We put too much of the weight on the people. And if the people, seriously, that one CVS is not more important than Freddie Gray. It's not more important than the 450 people who are languishing in prison. So, I see that you want to talk about the people and their response. What I want to talk about is I want to talk about the system and its response and the system and its brutality towards people who look like me, who act like me. And we could talk about the people all day, but if people step up and throw bottles and burn down a CVS, which they did last year, that they did that, yes, that's something to be concerned about. But I'm more concerned about why they responded that way in the first place. What do you expect a man to do if he's down on the ground and he's got a knife at his throat and a boot on his head and he's yelling, "Let me go," and then he dies? And then we want to talk about them throwing bottles and setting fires. Come on. There's people dying here.
Well, and I hope that you don't feel that that's all we wanted to focus on, because the reason that we had you on in the first place was to talk about exactly what you're talking about and to highlight the things that have and have not changed in Baltimore since the death of Freddie Gray. I thought it was a fair question to ask about the riots, but I take your point. I appreciate what you had to say about that. So J.C. Falk, an activist and community organizer in Baltimore, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.